Welcome to Outlaw Sermons. Each episode will bring you one of country music's most compelling artists to hear their stories of resilience and redemption, revealing the personal crossroads they faced and the steps they took to overcome adversity. From moments of doubt to triumphant comebacks, discover how these artists turn challenges into stepping stones. Tune in weekly for heartfelt stories of grit and grace and experience the spirit of country music like never before. Join us on Outlaw Sermons, where every story is a testament to the power of perseverance and the enduring strength of the human spirit. Next on Outlaw Sermons, Katie Offerman. Today, we shine a spotlight on one of Nashville's rising stars, Katie Offerman. A multi-talented musician and singer-songwriter, Katie's journey has been anything but ordinary. Growing up on a horse ranch in New Braunfels, Texas, Katie was homeschooled in a barn and started playing piano at the age of four. By the time she was nine, she had mastered multiple instruments, including the accordion and the fiddle. She attended Berklee College of Music on a scholarship, graduated at just 19 years old, and eventually made her way to Nashville, where she signed with Universal Music Group Publishing. Her unique path and heartfelt songwriting have already earned her a place as one of the Boots Artists to Watch for 2021. In this episode, we'll dive deep into Katie's journey, the stories behind her music, and what drives her to keep pushing boundaries in this industry. Stay tuned.
I'm Katie Offerman, and this is my Outlaw Sermon. So I'm from Texas, from New Braunfels, Texas. It is in between San Antonio and Austin. It used to be a small town. It's not so small anymore. I feel like I used to go and see everybody I knew or was related to, and now I go back and I'm like, who are you? It's crazy. I grew up on a ranch outside of town. My dad was a horse trainer. I was homeschooled by my dad in our barn. So, you know, kind of a country upbringing, I would say, for sure. My mom is a little bit more refined than my dad. And so I kind of get my hillbilly from him and my ability to communicate with people from my mom. Back several years ago, you really weren't homeschooled unless you were like mega hippie or mega kind of conservative Christian. I don't even think it was 100% legal when we were doing it. There was some kind of thing where my dad, I don't know, he had to create a fake diploma. I mean, you know, just all that fun stuff. I did graduate from college, so there is that. I went to legitimate school, but it just wasn't really, it was a little bit frowned upon, but it just worked for us. My dad was like, let's just try it, you know? Maybe Katie will have a better relationship with us and maybe it'll give her the time to find what she loves in life, you know, and it did. There's pluses and minuses to everything. I think music found me and it has been my outlet since day one of connecting with people. For me, music was everything. It was how I found my voice emotionally and actually, you know, singing. It was how I made friends, playing in bands and meeting people and having an outlet for connection since I was a homeschooled only child. You know, there's not as much of that. And so it was my way of just showing me that there was more out there in the world. And I always loved music, but I was always playing music, like sitting on my chair, playing Suzuki violin, classical, whatever. And when I learned that there was more out there, you could make money and play for people and experience that joy and that feeling of live music, then I realized that that was for me. Like, that was my thing. Yeah, you know, my life has just been very non-traditional. And I think that, you know, that, and you're asking, like, were we really conservative or really hippie or whatever, you know? I think for me, a lot of it's just been like, because everything was pretty non-traditional in my life, it just gave me unique perspectives. When I think about crossroads in my life, I mean, I think there's like a ton of mini crossroads that you face a lot. But for me, I think the most monumental one in my life was when I lived in LA, because, you know, I had moved out there when I was 19. I just graduated college and I was not planning on going to LA. I was either going to come to Nashville or go back to Texas for a bit. And I had played, Berkeley has this commencement concert for recipients of honorary doctorates that they bring in to give a talk and a performance at like graduation. And so my year it was Annie Lennox, Carole King, Willie Nelson, and Chris Christopherson. Just a bunch of losers. Like, who are those people? And so they had hired me and like, a few people from the college to be a backup band for them. And so I was playing fiddle for all of them, getting up there and singing their songs. And I had to sing a song to Willie and just do these different things. And so when it was done, this guy came up to me and it's like a lot going on there. It's kind of loud. So I'm just like, I could barely hear what he said his name was. And he was British. And he handed me his card and just said, like, I'd love to hear more from you. Like, send me some music, whatever. And I'm like, was this somebody's dad? Like, I don't even know, you know? I leave. It's late. We get in the car. And I remember pulling out the card in my purse and looking at it. And it said, Simon Fuller, XIX Entertainment. And I was like, sounds really familiar. And I look him up and it was like, creator of American Idol. Manages Annie Lennox, Carrie Underwood, David Beckham, J-Lo. I was like, well, shoot, you know, that's the first legit person I've ever met in my life, you know? And because I wasn't used to meeting those kind of people. I was used to just good old Texas Western swing musicians or, you know, whatever, people that you just, your main hope is to just do a good job, play a good gig, and then get called back. You know, that's your biggest kind of goal. It's just kind of the grind. Anyway, I sent him an email and was like, well, I'm definitely never going to hear back from him, but I shot him some tunes. By the next day, he emailed me and was, I'd love to fly you to New York to meet at the Plaza Hotel. He's like, I have the penthouse there. He was like, he and his wife, I'm guessing they're still together, but they have the penthouse at the Plaza Hotel. When he first said the Plaza, I thought he meant like the Crown Plaza, you know, like I had to look up and my mom's like, no, Katie, like the Plaza Hotel is the famous, like beautiful hotel. And it was just from there, it kind of started this chapter of my life. It's so weird to look back. It almost feels like it was just a lifetime ago, you know, and suddenly I'm being picked up in black cars. I had to finish a semester, my last semester of college. And so Simon like sent him this black Escalade, come pick me up in front of my apartment door, take me to the airport, pick me up from the airport, take me to the Plaza Hotel, and then meet for tea, you know, go up to their penthouse and hang out with the family and all this stuff, and then come back and we had tea with his assistant, and it was just all of us getting to know each other. And he basically just said that, and he was like, I just saw you and I was just impressed with what I saw. And I just had this gut feeling that you could be a part of something that I'm working on. And he said, you know, this is when Idol was about to leave Fox. And so he said, I'm developing a show that's going to take the place of Idol. It's going to be like a Diners, Drives, and Dives, but it's going to be music version. It's going to be discovering talent, hanging out with established talent. And he said, I would love for you, love to consider you to be the host for the show, and your music be throughout, and there'd be a storyline for you in there too. So I was like, well, dang, that sounds real good to me. So we started this, I don't know what the word is, like a professional dating situation of a test run kind of thing. Let's bring you out to LA. Let's do a photo shoot. Let's do some on-camera stuff, let's line you up with some writing sessions, whatever, and kind of see how it goes. And we did that. Everything seemed like a good fit. And so when I finished that semester, I was like, I guess I'm just going to move to LA. And so I moved to LA. I was in classes to get rid of my accent. I'd go to this dialect coach and she'd give me a paper to read, and then she'd record me for like 30 minutes and then stop and be like, all right, I'm gonna tell you everything you did wrong. So I'm like, all I lost there clearly was money, because I didn't lose any accent. I was in TV hosting classes, but ultimately what I didn't know at the time and what I definitely know now is that up until that point, I'd never really been told no, you know, because everything I was doing was such small, kind of just building up what I was doing, playing a gig, somebody seeing you, liking you, somebody else calling you, word of mouth, that kind of thing. But I never played ball with like the big boys and having those kind of opportunities. I never had anything like that fall through. And so I kind of had worked up to the point where the show was going to happen. And then it got switched to MTV. And then it was going to be me and several other way more successful people that were going to be like a group of friends hanging out in a bus. We were all hosts, you know? And so it was like me plus five other people. Even when Simon and I first met, we met at Steven Spielberg's home in Malibu. And then we had like movie afternoon, like his wife had their kids over and like all these famous people are just over at the house chilling with their little toddlers, like watching movies. And I'm like, what is going on? I remember texting my mom and going to the bathroom and texting my mom, so-and-so from CSI Miami just came in, mom. Oh my God. Like I only know the murder shows. That's my jam. But I was just suddenly in a different world. And so the TV show fell through. That was kind of why I moved out here. What am I doing now? I'm not playing any fiddle gigs. I'm not writing any music that really was what I was doing, like country, trying to figure out what the heck I'm doing. And I did meet some cool people. Like I wrote with David Hodges and Paul DiGiovanni and some of those guys that were out in LA at the time that now are in Nashville. I made a lot of friends for sure, and those connections have stayed with me. But I definitely was starting to feel that wear of like, you know, what am I doing? What is the bigger picture here? Is any part of all this kind of what makes me tick? So I got a couple part-time juice jobs. I started working at different places in LA. And when Simon and them were still trying to figure out, because I just told him, I was like, I really want a pub deal. And thank God none of that happened there. I just want to write, you know, one of my goals is to have a pub deal by the time I'm 20 or whatever. And funny looking back, it's just, well, that wasn't how it was supposed to go. But they were still trying to think about me maybe doing, just focus on the artist thing, music. And I tell people sometimes I have funny recollections looking back that are so different to what my life is now. But I remember going to a dinner at Bouchon, nice restaurant in Beverly Hills, and sitting down with like me, Simon, my day-to-day, a whole team of people sitting at a round table and talking about kind of just what I wanted in life. And then them asking me at one point during the dinner, what are your insecurities? What can we fix? Like, how do you like your weight? How do you like your skin? Like just all those kind of crazy things. And not point blank like that, but basically what are the things that we could help you change? And I remember telling them, well, I've got really bad acne on my back. And within a couple days, I had an appointment at like the top dermatologist in Beverly Hills. And within 2 months, I had perfect skin on my back. And it was just like, it was wild to me. And I think that's just kind of an example. It's a totally different world, you know? And there's so many things about LA that I do love. We were talking about, I miss sushi, the weather. There's a lot of fun stuff. But when it came to what really like filled my heart, ultimately that, you know, the let's get you perfect skin, let's get you on this billboard, let's get you on this show, all those fancy promises and hanging out with famous people and whatever, that's not really gonna do it in the long run, you know? And when half those things don't come through, it's just kind of, you're left kind of empty at the end of the day, being like, what is my what am I even doing? What is my life purpose? I do love Simon, though. There's not even 1% ill feelings towards Simon. I think he is a really great guy and so many brilliant ideas. And it opened up a door for me that I would have never experienced. Those were kind of the bonus years of my life because I graduated college young. So it was kind of, well, I would have been in school for these years. And so this is just a really cool life experience that I got to have. And so one of the last meetings that Simon and I had, I remember him asking me what I had been working on, what I was excited about, that kind of thing. And I remember asking him the same, like, what have you been working on and, you know, what's going on? And he said that he was working on these hologram artists that were going to be a joint venture between him and Max Martin. It was make up a name. Taylor Swift never existed on the face of this earth. When you created Taylor Swift, the hologram artist, you know, I mean, name Sally Joe, the hologram girl, whatever, just a random name, random guy, whatever. No sick days, nothing, like basically just a fake artist. And Max would write all the material. and they would just send him out on tour, basically just a easy kind of a cash cow, you know? I mean, I get it, whatever, make money. But what I realized in that moment that like where his head was at wasn't what I needed. And it wasn't his fault. I didn't even know what I needed at that moment. And so I just gave it some thought and I realized, you know what? I think I need to go out and find like what makes me tick. But because I can't put that responsibility. I had nothing to manage. I need to figure out what do I even want to say. And so I just told him, I was like, I think I need to go do me. So I left working with him, and that was kind of part A of major like crossroads, because I kind of have to let go of this certain chapter and the idea of what I thought was going to happen. But I just decided that I had to move forward and it had to be by myself. You know, I was kind of having like a 20, 21 year old life crisis, and I reached out to a friend of mine in New York and just said, I'm kind of freaking out. I'm here in LA. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Can you line me up with some writes? And in the past, he'd lined me up with some different Swedish writers in LA, like kind of Max Martin's camp, but not Max. So he was like, how would you feel about going to Sweden and Denmark for 2 months and writing and doing something, just getting out of LA? And I was like, heck yeah, let's do it. And so he just lined me up on this 2 month trip, and I just went over there by myself, and I met up with all these different writers and, you know, in Sweden and Denmark, and I'd show up to a new person's house, we'd write for like 2 days, and I'd move to the next one, take a train, move to the next one, and wrote a bunch of songs. And I mean, really cool life experience. A lot of really bad songs, like looking back I'm like, oh god, those were not my best, but like really good life growing moments. Anyway, at the end of that trip, I came back, and I think that I, at that point, was still searching for something to keep. I had gotten comfortable in LA, and I think I was just searching for something to keep me there, not because I was really happy, but just because it was comfy. It seemed scarier to do something else. I came back, and through somebody I knew, I met this A&R guy for Sony Records in LA. And so he had heard some of the songs, and long story short, had offered me a record deal verbally, but had never sent an offer in. It was just like, I'm gonna sign you on these songs you wrote in Europe and blah, blah, blah. You're gonna be such a next big thing, whatever. I never got the deal offer, you know, my attorney is just like, never got anything, whatever. So I'm starting to get this feeling like maybe I need to move to Nashville. And so I remember specifically, I had come out here, I was staying with some friends, I was in their apartment, and I had been out here for about a week or something. And I literally had decided, I've got to move out here. This is where I need to be. And on my last day, I'm heading to the airport a couple hours, my attorney calls and was like, you're never gonna believe it. Check your email, they just sent the offer. I literally just decided I'm moving to Nashville. I've waited like 6 to 8 months. They never sent a deal. And the one day I decided I'm moving on, they send me the contract. And I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah, I mean, I could have used that money, and it definitely would have been the thing that would have kept me in LA. But you know, I spent time thinking about it. I spent about a month, and I think that's where I started having the most panic of, I don't think I can sign this deal. You know, I would rather be scared to death and start over than be stuck in something that's not me, that I'm not proud of. A songs that I can't just play me and guitar, like songs that have to have some track, or, you know, being stuck on stage in some scandalous outfit, singing songs I hate with glitter falling from the sky. That's just not my vibe. And so decided that, you know, that's when I learned. I think LA taught me how to receive the word no. And it also made me realize what yes is to say no to, because I think that is equally as important, because I think sometimes you get so desperate for a yes. And I think sometimes it's really easy to forget that sometimes denying certain yeses in your life is necessary for growth and for finding the right thing for you in your heart. I passed on it. And I'm not even like a really big crier, but I just remember like being in Whole Foods over on like in West Hollywood, like across from the Grove, and just freaking crying by the meat market. Just like, I need some salmon. I just think it was like that hitting, just the realization hitting me of, I have no idea what my plan is. My parents are starting to freak out at this point because they've kind of helped me up until this point, because it's kind of like where I was till, you know, 21. So basically I'm at the age where I would be leaving college. And so it's like, okay, Katie, get your act together. And my juice jobs weren't enough to really keep and hold anything down. And so, I mean, that was when I had that major crossroads of my parents being like, I think you need to move back home. I was saying, I think I'm going to go to maybe dermatology school. I think I'm going to go or be an esthetician, or just all these different things. I thought my mom was like, maybe you should go back and get your master's, or would you ever want to teach at Berkeley? Or I mean, it's just all these things. And I just remember thinking like, I didn't even know. Like, I have no idea. I saw so many different things for myself in my life, but somehow it doesn't feel like there's any other options. And I just felt like I was probably going to have to go back to school or pick a different road. I think my parents got let down. You know, it's just kind of like how they say when you break somebody's heart, you're breaking their family's heart too. You know, when you dump somebody, it's kind of the same thing with careers and music and stuff, because it's like my parents were so excited. They never seen, you know, or even thought about me having these opportunities and going to LA and having crazy experiences. And going from that to just kind of the bottom, you know, the pits of just like, all this went away. I have zero plan. I haven't really been able to make any money. I'm not playing any shows. I'm not loving the music that I've made. And I have no connection really to anything anywhere else. And so it's like, well, what the heck do I do? And so I had some friends from school that were living in Nashville, and they had offered me to come out there for a month and stay with them and kind of do a test run. And so I booked a flight from LA to Nashville and was going to go for like 2 months and then go back to LA and kind of just feel it out and maybe start making bigger trips to Nashville. And within my first week of being in Nashville, I canceled my return flight and broke up with my boyfriend and was just like, this is where I have to be. I have more friends, more community. I've already written better songs in the last 3 days than I have in the last 3 years. You know, I mean, just more me stuff. Not that they were better, but just more me. And I just had that aha moment of like, you just know something clicks when you just know like, this is, I made the right decision. Like, I'm not there yet, and I have no idea where I'm going. I don't have a place to live yet, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I know in my heart that coming here was the right choice. And so I flew back to LA maybe 5 months later, and I got my car and my dog and loaded up my Kia Soul and just made the trip cross country from LA and officially moved to Nashville. And that was about 9 years ago. My goal is still the same as when I moved here. It was just, I want to write better songs. I just love music, and I think that's what I realized about LA, is that it's not LA. It's just that I think out there there's a different vibe of kind of a lot of grandiose promises that we'll put you on this, we'll do this, and then you'll be this, and then you'll be on this show and whatever. And I realized that I had to get back to what the only thing that had ever worked for me, and it was very small scale, and it was show up, work hard, surround yourself with good people, be a good person, and just keep working your butt off.
Check out Katie Offerman's latest single, I Just Killed a Man, on SiriusXM or wherever you stream your music. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Until then, keep on keeping on.